So we're just a few days away from Christmas. And do you feel any of the Christmas spirit just yet? How are you spending the next few days before the 25th? I think these last days before Christmas can be somewhat awkward, actually, depending on what you're currently doing. And I find people find themselves in one of three categories. You are one, and so you're still unfortunately working whilst everyone is enjoying December. Two, you're on holiday at a really beautiful location with family. And last but not least, you have bought yourself a one-way ticket to remain here and you are stuck at home. But regardless of where you are listening from, I'm so grateful that you have tuned in. And after the break, we're going to be discussing our God-given identity and what that might mean for us in 2025. So stick around and don't go anywhere. So just before we cross over into the new year, I think it's generally good practice to take a look back at 2024. As we begin to reflect on 2024, I want you to ask yourself this question. Did you feel like yourself this year? You might be thinking, Joshua, of course, I don't think I changed bodies this year and I don't plan to change my body next year. And, you know, if that's the case, I'm so glad. Hallelujah. But the reason I'm asking this question is because I think we tend to pretend quite a bit, actually. And pretending doesn't always look like us physically being someone else. It might look like us trying really hard to ignore certain traits or characteristics about ourselves because they are undesirable. Simply put, you might have forgotten who you are and whose you are. So we're going to continue unpacking this discussion. But for now, we have some great music coming up. Up next, we have Come Alive by one of my personal favorites, Charity Gale. And then after 10 o'clock, we have Praise by Anthony Evans. I'll see you in a little bit.
Let love come alive on Impact 103.
So just before 10 o'clock, we were briefly chatting about the possibility of us pretending, not staying true to ourselves and forgetting who God made us to be, not knowing who we are and not knowing whose we are. And I think there are two components of our identity that I think we run the risk of ignoring, or rather not fully embracing. So one, we have our God-given identity as saints by the grace of God, and then our own individual personal identities. And I think from the beginning of time, our God-given identity and our personal identities, for that matter, have been attacked. And so we can take a look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. And so it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will certainly not die,' the serpent said to the woman." And so I really want to focus on verse 5. "For God knows that when you eat from the tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So we see in verse 5, the devil is already stirring up trouble, and he planted a seed in Eve about her true identity. She was never meant to be on equal standing with God. And actually, up until that point, Eve was really content, you know, being Eve, you know, helping out Adam, and I'm sure both of them were content. But as soon as the devil came in and planted his lies, that's when the doubts came, and that's when their identity was lost. And because their identity was lost, sin came into the world. And I can say also in my life this past year, when my identity has been lost, that's normally when sin comes in and I forget the person that God made me to be. And I think one of the best ways to combat the devil's lies is to look into the word, look into the scriptures, and find out what the word says about us, the truth of God's word. Stick around, we're going to find out what the word says after this. So just before the break, we were chatting about the possibility of us being confused about our God-given identity, mainly due to the dishonest voice of the enemy. So let's jump right into the word. And so we're going to read Zechariah, really interesting book. And I remember the first time reading this book, and it's just full of visions. It's a really beautiful book, and I do recommend it. But we'll start at verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me, Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. Then the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this the man a burn? Is this man not a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you." We see here in the scripture that the enemy accuses the high priest, much like how he accuses us. He makes our sin almost become one with us, almost become a part of us. With his trickery, he convinces us that we are not loved. And have you felt unloved by God this year? Maybe this year was filled with all the disappointments and hurts, and the enemy convinced you that you are a failure. I know I've personally had to fight these thoughts during this year, and you know, I'm looking forward to stepping into 2025, understanding that I am loved even if I fall short of the glory of God. And so we see in Romans 8:31, it says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" And God is going to graciously give us all things. And so that means he's going to give us, first of all, his grace and his kindness and his patience that leads us to repentance. And so, coming back to our God-given identity, it's important to know that when we think about ourselves and when we think about the disappointments of the last year, we need to look back at Scripture and look back at what God says. We see in Zechariah, or we saw in Zechariah, that the enemy was accusing Joshua, the high priest, but the Lord was defending Joshua, and the Lord is defending you today.
Let praise come alive on Impact 103.
And continuing our identity conversation, I had a friend once tell me that he feels safe being, and I quote, "his whimsical self around me." When he said that, I felt so much joy, almost as if he trusts me completely to see the real him and for me not to be repelled. He felt like he can be the real him around me, no pretending, no dishonesty, just him, the person God made him to be. So for the last hour or so, we've been chatting about identity. Just before the break, we spoke about how our God-given identity is attacked by the enemy and how he attacks us as children of God. And now I want to slightly shift onto our individual identity. Yes, as the body of Christ, we have things that we share, such as us all being forgiven, us all being children of God, and so on. But we are also individuals made with unique features gifted to us by God himself for his glory. And a passage of scripture that I've found so interesting is 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to start reading from 14. "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I do not belong on the body,' it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" Right? So it's very powerful imagery really here by Paul. But essentially what he's saying is, yes, we are one body in Christ, but each of us have different responsibilities. Each of us have different roles. And I think sometimes it's so easy for us who maybe feel underappreciated, or we have gifts and abilities that might not platform us as much as the person to the left or to the right of you. But here we see that God places an emphasis on each and every part of the body. And so God also places an emphasis on each and every one of us as believers, right? So whether you're a hand, whether you're an ear, whether you're an eye, whether you're unseen or whether you're not seen, God places a lot of emphasis on you. And in verse 18, You know, it actually speaks about the fact that God organize all the parts of the body according to his will and according to his purpose. So the way God made you is according to his will and according to his purpose. You are designed by God to be yourself. And the way we can fully understand ourselves is not looking towards us, but looking towards God. Draw closer to God and you're going to understand who you're supposed to be.
Impact 103.
We've been chatting about identity and we have spoken about how our God-given identity is often attacked by the enemy. But a second component of our identities that is also attacked is our personal individual identities, right? Who we are as people. So for example, me as Joshua, I'm different to you. We both have the same God. We both have the same Savior, but God created me differently and God created you differently. And so in order to put away all facades and embrace who we actually are, it takes quite a bit of vulnerability. We all fall short of the glory of God on our own, and that's why we need God. It takes us saying, God, search my heart and everything that's hidden. And the beautiful thing about God is whether we ask or not, he already sees everything. So we need to be realistic with ourselves and with God. There's no hiding. And yesterday when I was thinking about this, I got this image, almost as if when we are vulnerable before God and before ourselves, we appear like wounded animals, vulnerable to attack, maybe situated in an open field. And naturally, maybe if you've watched National Geographic or Animal Planet, you would know that if there's a wounded animal that is on its own, it's isolated, it's normally easy pickings for whatever enemy is lurking around. And that would be true in the natural case. But as Christians, we know that when we die to ourselves, we live. For us as believers, this vulnerable opportunity is where we can lay down our lives and find life in Christ, right? So in Luke 9:24, it speaks about for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. And so as you try and unpack your personal identity for 2025, I encourage you to seek to lose your life in this sense, where everything that you have known in the past that hasn't necessarily been coming from God, I pray that you would die to those old ideas and put on your new self, clothed in righteousness by the blood of the Lamb. And so to find the most powerful versions of ourselves, we have to be honest with ourselves, but most importantly with God. Remember, we are the clay and he is the potter. He knows how to take us from ashes to beauty and from nothing to wholesome.
Come alive to the beat of life with Impact 103.
I hope you have enjoyed your time on the show. I most certainly have. And I myself, I'm looking forward to what Jesus has in store for us in this new year. And so as we've been chatting about identity and maybe, you know, reclaiming some of our lost God-given identity, I encourage you to have some personal time before the year ends. And I know there's some controversy around New Year's resolutions and whether or not they're valid. But I think as an action of faith, go before God and ask him to reveal the truth about you. Because after all, God is the one who made you. God is the one who created you, who formed you in your mother's womb. So it's only right and it's only fair and it's, you know, only actually wise for us to actually step back and go to God and ask him, God, who am I supposed to be in 2025? Who am I supposed to be to the people around me, whether it's my family, whether it's my friends, whether it's my workplace environment, whoever it might be, whether it's, you know, me being who Christ wants me to be to strangers, because we know that there's such power and grace and freedom when we walk according to God's plan for our lives. So remember, we are at our best when we find ourselves in the hands of our Maker. He is the potter and we are the clay. So I pray that over you as this year ends, and I pray that you'll find your God-given identity. And remember, it's okay to be who God made you to be, even if you are different, even if you are different from the people in your family or your church. If God made you that way, there's a reason he made you that way. God is too sovereign. God is too caring. God is too intentional for you to walk in a different path that you were not made to walk. And so I hope you enjoyed your time on the show, the in-season show, normally hosted by Birgitta, but hosted by me, Joshua Kijula, this morning. And so I'm praying that you have a blessed day further. And after this, we have Stephen Jeffrey taking us from 11 till 1 o'clock. And until next time, I'm Joshua Kijula. Stay blessed and let God take care of the rest.